cradio.org.au.
This is Bobby, presenter of Cradio's Catholic News Headlines. The Most Reverend Archbishop Paul Gallagher, the Apostolic Nuncio to Australia, joins me today at St. Mary's Parish, Crookwell, a small country parish about 45 kilometres from Goulburn and about 100 kilometres from Canberra. Archbishop Gallagher is visiting this parish to confirm the children of the parish on behalf of Archbishop Prowse. Born in January 1954 in Liverpool, England, His Grace was educated at Francis Xavier College in Woolton and was ordained to the priesthood on the 31st of July 1977 by Archbishop Derek Warlock to the Archdiocese of Liverpool. He later studied canon law and received a doctorate from the Pontifical Ecclesiastical Academy in Rome and became a member of the Holy See's diplomatic service in May 1984. As well as English, Archbishop Gallagher is fluent in French, Italian, and Spanish, and has held diplomatic posts in Tanzania, Uruguay, the Philippines, Vatican Secretariat of State, and at the Council of Europe. In December 2012, Emeritus Pope Benedict XVI announced that Archbishop Gallagher would become the 15th Apostolic Nuncio to Australia and the first non-Italian. He took up that role in March last year. Good afternoon, Archbishop Gallagher. Welcome to Crookwell.
Thank you very much. It's a great pleasure to be here.
First of all, you've been in Australia for about a year and a half now. How do you find it? Was it different to what you expected? And how does it compare to England?
Well, it is different from what I expected it to be. Being British, I thought it was going to be more like the UK than it is. I see that Australia has a very particular character. It has its own traditions, obviously. And some of that's taken some adapting to. But I'm very happy to be here and I'm enjoying it on the whole very much.
Most people I've spoken to have no idea what an apostolic nuncio actually is, what you do and why your role is important. Can you explain that to our listeners?
Well, it's not surprising that people don't know what an apostolic nuncio is. There are not that many of them around. A nuncio is a representative of the Holy Father, the Pope, both to the state as an ambassador and to the church as the representative of the Pope. And I spend most of my time on the church affairs, very little time on other things like politics and relations with the state, but it's still important because the Holy See has diplomatic relations with the Commonwealth of Australia and we need to foster those relations. But most of my time is spent dealing with the affairs of the church. It's basically a role of communication, informing Rome of what's going on in Australia and the life of the church in Australia, and also being a channel of communications between the Vatican and the local churches here. And also, in addition to that, the very important role that we have is supervising the whole process of the appointment of bishops.
Okay, well, the bishops was my next question. Can you explain that in more detail?
Well, we are charged when there is a vacancy in a diocese, either because of the death or the retirement or the transfer of the diocesan bishop, to launch a consultative process amongst the bishops of the province, also the archbishops throughout the country, consultors of the diocese, and laity and religious who seem to be can make a contribution to the process. We try to evaluate the situation of the diocese, see what sort of bishop that particular diocese needs, establishing a profile of the bishop, and then we ask people to put forward the names of suitable candidates. When we've got a short list of candidates, then we do an in-depth investigation of those candidates, and we write a report and make recommendations to Rome. And then it's considered by the Congregation for Bishops, who vote on the report of the nuncio, and then the matter is taken to the Holy Father for the final decision.
How and why did you get involved in diplomacy?
Oh, well, I was sort of headhunted when I was a young priest working in a parish in Liverpool. I'd been to seminary in Rome, so I knew a little bit of Italian. They saw that I was the sort of person who adapted well to different places and cultures and languages. And so I was invited to study the necessary subjects for doing this job, which meant that I spent 4 years in a special pontifical academy we have in Rome. And then I was appointed to the service after a series of exams. and started in 1984 as the secretary of the nunciature in Tanzania.
How do you find working with the Holy Father?
Well, I don't work with the Holy Father. I sort of work for the Holy Father. Okay. And but we have had the privilege of meeting him on two occasions. He called us to Rome, all of us, after he was elected in June 2013. So he gave us a speech and we had an opportunity to greet him. And then when I went on my vacation at the end of 2013, I was able to meet with him and talk about what I was doing in Australia, and we had about 20-minute conversation. He's very amenable, he's very encouraging, very personable, and it was a good meeting.
What inspired you to enter the priesthood?
I was inspired to enter the priesthood because I was looking for making a discerning what I was going to do with my life as a teenager. At a Jesuit grammar school in England. Faith had always been important to me. But in my teenage years, faith became quite vital. It became something very dynamic. And I think I was being asked, well, what do you want to do with this gift of faith that you received? And I decided that I wanted, above all, to share it with my friends and to propagate it. And I came to the conclusion after a period of questioning that the thing I should do is become a diocesan priest.
There are a number of Catholics I've come across who see a lack of leadership in the church in Australia. They'd like to know if there are any particular plans you have to encourage more so-called leadership from the bishops.
Well, the bishops, as you know, go regularly to Rome, both on commissions and particular missions which are entrusted to them. They all go collectively every 5 to 7 years for the ad limina visit, and then they meet with the Holy Father, they meet with the people who are running the departments of the Vatican, and the situations that they are dealing with, the pastoral situations they're dealing with, are dealt with. Obviously, we encourage appropriate leadership in all bishops, but we shouldn't underestimate the dimensions of the task. It's in certain many societies, particularly in the English-speaking world, it's not easy to be give leadership or to be prophetic on certain themes or to get a decent hearing. So I don't think we as Catholics should underestimate the challenges that our bishops face. But obviously in the choice of new bishops, we're looking for people who will be up to the task, who are willing to defend the Church's teaching as strongly as possible. Leadership is a question of also of style. Not everybody leads in the same way. And some bishops judge that you don't necessarily give good leadership by confronting a society or confronting individuals on certain issues, but rather by presenting things. I think, you know, the Holy Father is giving tremendous leadership, but he's not always as antagonistic as some people would want him to be on certain issues and towards certain groups. We have to remember that the vision of the Church is we have to seek, above all, the common good of the whole of society. And we have to encourage people, and we have to do it as pastors and in a very paternal way. And that's what the Holy Father is also asking of his bishops today.
Another issue that I've heard come up a fair bit is regarding clergy speaking on partisan politics, promoting certain parties, candidates, politicians, and attacking particular politicians on their policies and such. What is your view on that?
Well, I think you're right in that the Church is, and representatives of the Church should never be engaged in party politics as such. But obviously, in presenting the Church's views on certain social and political issues which affect the whole of society, there may be a coincidence of opinions. It may appear that, you know, that the Church is favouring a certain politician or a certain party. That, in some ways, is inevitable, because there can be some politicians who follow the teaching of the Church more closely than others, or whose beliefs coincide with those of the Church. At the same time, we need to have as broad representation of Catholics in politics as possible, and that I think is fundamental. The clergy will be less outspoken on political issues, and will inevitably be accused less of being partisan if lay Catholics are more committed and more involved in politics.
I think that's actually a very good point there, Archbishop. I do follow politics to an extent, and I do know there are a lot of other Catholics who find it boring and uninteresting and a pain, and they don't like having to go and vote and all that sort of thing. The second last question I've got for you. As part of Cradio's news service, I regularly have reported on issues surrounding the Islamic State and the Muslim extremist group taking over Iraq, Syria and now Lebanon. As an official from the Holy See, what is your take on that?
Well, it's we're very concerned about the situation in Iraq. We're very concerned about the well-being of the vast majority of the people, the population of Iraq. We see that this is a time, a delicate time, when everybody should be seeking to consolidate the democratic institutions in Iraq, to support the whole process of bringing peace and solidity and prosperity back to Iraq after many, many difficult years. We're also concerned about the fate of Christians and other religious minorities in Iraq, and we feel that this is something that is going to which the whole international community needs to give it its attention. Obviously, one would like to think that it would be possible to engage the Islamic State of Iraq in dialogue, in a negotiated peace. Well, we have to see if that is possible. For the moment, obviously, it is necessary to offer resistance. But I think as Christians and as Catholics, we always see violence and ultimately war as a failure. And therefore, we've got to try and insist on peace and on dialogue. And we have to realize that radical Muslim ideas like this are not representative of the vast majority of Muslims in the world. And we have to work together with moderate Muslim opinion so that the Islamic countries can indeed live in harmony with the rest of the world.
Finally, Archbishop, why is it that priests who are guilty of sexual abuse and other wrongdoings are not excommunicated from the church?
Well, that, you know, excommunication is a juridical penalty, and the juridical penalties are obviously controlled by the law of the church, which is written down in the Code of Canon Law. It is my understanding, and I'm open to correction of this, that it is not foreseen that they should be excommunicated. The penalties at the same time are extreme, very severe. But there may be an argument for saying that people should. The object, obviously, of any penalty is the reform of the offender, and it needs to be considered whether what is the appropriate penalty for a given crime. Now, obviously, sexual abuse, particularly of minors, is a very grievous crime. And we have to maybe consider it. This is not, in one sense, written in stone. And we'll see if maybe in the future, in some reform of the legislature on penalties, that this might yet be applied.
Thank you very much for your time today, Archbishop. And I hope you enjoy your time here in Crookwell and your time serving in Australia.
Thank you very much. And I'm indeed looking forward very much to a celebration of the Sacrament of Confirmation here in Crookwell this evening and meeting the local Catholic community. God bless.
That was Bobby Brewer interviewing Papal Nuncio to Australia, Archbishop Paul Gallagher. For more interviews, talks and shows, visit cradio.org.au.
radio.org.au.